Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis and chapter number 3. And as you're turning there in your bulletin this morning is a companion handout to the lesson. And I want to encourage you to grab that as well. So Genesis chapter number 3, and then this handout this morning in your bulletin. And maybe grab those notes and a pen or pencil or something. And we're going to journey together as we're continuing in this series, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. Now, I have about 20 minutes to teach a 40-minute lesson. And I'm going to talk as fast as I can. I need you to listen as fast as you can. You just can't get done before I get done, all right? And I need you to try to intentionally journey with me. I want to tell you right up front that today's lesson is from a heart to strengthen your home, your marriage, your family, your relationships. It is not popular. It is not something that you'll hear in a lot of places, maybe no other place. It's not something that it's real exciting and funny, although I'm going to do my best to deliver it in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But I do believe it will be helpful. So I want you to try to stay in tune and engaged this morning as we journey through this. Now, last week we had Mission Sunday, so let me kind of catch us up a little bit. We spent a couple of weeks out of Ephesians 5 studying husband's love and wife's reverence and God's foundation for the marital relationship. Then after laying that foundation, we took some time to talk specifically about how do husbands love and how do wives reverence their husbands. And that's where we're picking right back up. Now, ladies, we've already looked at appreciating his desire to work and to achieve, to get something done. We've looked at appreciating his desire to protect and provide. Then we talked a couple of weeks ago about his desire to serve and to lead and how God is giving him authority in the home because of the responsibility that God has given to your husband and appreciating that. Now, what I want us to look at today is appreciating the God-given desire that your husband has to analyze and to counsel, to analyze and to counsel. Now, some ladies maybe struggle with giving their husbands reverence. Sometimes maybe they don't respect him, or they're in the habit or rut of talking bad about him, or talking down to him, or talking behind his back. And then there's almost this realization that, wow, God's commanding me to reverence, but I don't even know that I respect him. And I don't even know that it's because he's a bad guy or a bad husband as much as it is that he just isn't who I want him to be. We got married and I thought that I could fix him and make him better. And we haven't gotten as far as I'd like. And that maybe is the struggle of my heart. And sometimes ladies find themselves in that situation. And in their heart, they feel like their husbands have little to teach, little wisdom to share really about anything. After all, they're in the position of running the home, making the decisions, raising the children. Now, what I'm describing describes a lot of homes. And yet, God has given husbands a desire to counsel and to analyze and to lead in this area. And he's challenged wives to reverence. And that's what I want us to study today. And I'm asking for a little bit of help and the time that we'll have to cover this so that we can move through it and the Lord will use it. And so here's what I want us to look at as we study. How do we appreciate this God-given desire on his behalf to analyze and to counsel? Number one, I want us to look at beliefs that have been excused. Beliefs that have been excused. What are some beliefs that are commonly accepted today that may not be factual in their entirety? All right, first of all, letter A, the vast majority of men are opinionated, one-sided, and inattentive. And all the wives said, hey, man, no. And some wives might feel like my husband is unloving, he's uncaring, he's not a good husband. But if you dig deeper to that assessment of a home, sometimes you will find that that's not the case. Rather, the husband was just never really given a chance. Again, the standard was not being the best that he could be before the Lord. The standard was, can he be what I want him to be? Can he be the way that I want him to be? And he's never going to measure up to that. And so therefore, he was never really given a chance and was just kind of labeled this way. Sometimes wives get in the rut of thinking, my husband's advice or opinion is not even worth consideration in the decision-making process to seek what he thinks would be a waste of time because it doesn't even factor into what's going to happen. Sometimes that happens. And again, it's not that he's maybe giving bad counsel or that it's against God's word. It may just be that it's already been deemed as ineffective because of where he is in your eyes. Now, this is a belief that exists in some homes that we would not want to excuse in our homes. All right. What's another one? Letter B, the exclusive and unique power of womanly intuition. Now, ladies, my name is Gabe and I'm your friend, okay? I'm not here this morning to offend you or to have you leaving here upset with me. We have guests today and I want them to enjoy today as well. But I do want to kind of challenge this idea this morning of the exclusive and unique power of womanly intuition. Now, maybe we've heard it taught, men, listen to your wives. They have intuition and insight that you do not have. And you're wise to heed it, which I would say to that, amen. I often will ask Susanna, what do you think about this? Or I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Why? Because she does have a different perspective. She does see things through a different lens. And there'll be some insight that I can gain and some things that will help me in making a decision or developing some discernment in an area. And there may be a blind spot that I have that she can help me. And so it is wise to receive that. But here's what I want to say. In light of this teaching, it can also happen that we so raise the level of womanly intuition that what we basically say is when it comes to any decision concerning the home, make sure we get her opinion because she has this insight that no one else has, and we completely omit the wisdom and counsel that God has given her husband. As one wife put it, my husband has lived our whole marriage in fear that he would not say or do the right thing, and the right thing was what I wanted him to say or to do. And sometimes that's the atmosphere or the environment that exists in a home. The wife who believes that she has to provide all the answers and provide all of the thinking should be very careful when it comes to that context of the relationship. Now, Genesis chapter number 3, and I wish you had time to develop this, and I apologize that I don't. But in Genesis chapter number 3, Satan comes to Adam and Eve in the garden. Who does he come to first? Who knows? Eve, right? Okay, comes to Eve first, and he is tempting her to eat of the fruit of the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil, right? Were they allowed to eat of that fruit? No. So God created this whole splendor and said, have at it, enjoy it, it's awesome. By the way, that command is given in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. It's in your notes where God tells who you cannot eat of it. Adam. That's exactly right. And at that moment, Eve wasn't even created. So listen very carefully. God comes to Adam in chapter 2, verse 17 and says, don't eat of that fruit. Eve's not even created yet. Then Genesis chapter number 3, who does Satan go to? Eve. And tells Eve, Eve, you need to eat of this fruit because God lied to you. And the truth of the matter is, if you'll eat of this fruit, you'll become as wise as God. And does he eat of the fruit? She does. Now, does Adam eat of the fruit as well? Yes, he does. What is that about? Was this the first case of, you know, Eve had him by the nose and he had to do what she said? I don't know. Was this a moment of insecurity on Adam's behalf of, wow, what if Satan's right? What if she gets smart as God? I don't want to be dumb. I want to eat that fruit too. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Adam's mind, but here's what I know. What I know is Adam knew, don't eat of that fruit. Adam had been told by God that's off limits, and Satan comes to Eve, and Satan tempts Eve. And the scriptures are clear as we learn about this. As Paul sums it up in 1 Timothy 2, 14 in your notes, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Now, Adam did wrong, no doubt about that. Here's what I would say. I would say Eve was deceived, and Adam disobeyed. And ladies, here's all I want to point out to you. There are times where God gives your husband some insight. God gave this to Adam in chapter 2, verse 17 of Genesis. And I no doubt Adam shared that with Eve because Eve told the serpent she wasn't allowed to eat of the fruit. So she evidently had heard this from her husband. And yet when approached by Satan, she then concluded, forget what my husband said, it's going to be okay to eat of this fruit. And we still bear the consequence of that today. Now, ladies, I'm not blaming all that on you. But what I am saying is this. Be careful that we rely so much on this exclusive power of womanly intuition that we're not willing to say, you know what? There are times where Satan deceives me too. There are times where God gives my husband some insight that I need to hear and heed to that will help strengthen our homes. And that's what we see missing here in this area. So how do we overcome these common misbeliefs, and what do we need? Well, what we need, secondly, is biblical balance. Biblical balance is essential. Now, when Paul's talking about Eve and being the one who was deceived, he's not spewing forth chauvinist put-downs and saying, you know, look at all these women and how bad they are. But there is a truth here for marriages to embrace, okay? Men should listen to their wives who are naturally intuitive, and that is true. But wives should not fail to appreciate the insight that God has given to their husbands and thereby rejecting his counsel. There needs to be a biblical balance, husbands and wives needing each other. Husbands tuning into that intuition and benefiting from it. Wives tuning into their husband's counsel and insight and benefiting from that as well. If Adam and Eve would have done that in the garden, what a different outcome could have been. And so balancing one another. Now, for wives who are thinking about that, and are evaluating how much do I lean on my own intuition, how much do I lean on my husband, look at these two questions, and they're in your notes. Number one, could you be thinking too highly of your natural discernment and intuition? I'm not saying you don't have it, and I'm not trying to offend. I'm just asking a question. Could you be thinking too highly of it? Secondly, is it possible that you might be deceived on a certain front and that you could use your husband's insight because you don't see what he sees? I submit to you this morning, men, we do need our wife's intuition because we may have a blind spot. But ladies, in love, can I submit to you that you might have a blind spot as well? And that the insight and counsel that God gives your husband may benefit your life, your relationship, and your home? I don't think that's chauvinist to say. I don't think that that means somebody's better than somebody else. I think there's a balance here of, hey, husbands, listen to your wives and the intuition that she'll have. And wives, listen to your husband and the insight and the counsel that God's going to give him. And the balance of that is going to bring great harmony in the home. So all of us can be deceived, and this balance is required. All right? Now, ladies, why is there pushback to that sometimes? Let's look at these very quickly. Letter A, because my husband is not spiritually leading our family. And some wives have strong convictions about this. My husband is not spiritually leading our family. He's not doing as he should. Now, do I think the man ought to be the spiritual leader of the home? Yes, I do. I think that the husband and father should set the spiritual temperature of the home. I've taught that in here and will continue to do it as long as I have breath. That is what I believe is biblical. All right? Now, wives, you have to be careful to balance this feeling of, I don't feel like he's adequately spiritually leading our home with, is he not doing what I think he should be doing? Because if he's seeking God and trying to do right, and God's growing him through that, he may not be where you want him to be on every level, but be careful to just dismiss what he's trying to do because it's not at your level. No wife in this room would want to be dismissed by their husbands because she did not meet his expectation in every level. That would be an uncomfortable environment in which to live. Feeling measured when it comes to my physical appearance and my ability to manage the household and this meal and so forth. And if I don't measure up, then the treatment and the care for me suffers. No wife in this room is going to vote for a home like that. So then be careful that there's not that applied to him. Here's the measuring rod of what I think he needs to be doing in this area, that area, in this area. And if he doesn't do it, well, then I'm going to show him. Be careful. He may not be leading in every area like we should. By the way, guys, I think all of us would admit, I'm not. I'm growing. I'm not leading in every area the way that I should, but I sure am trying. I'm here this morning. I want to learn. I want to lead my family. I want to do what's right. And so there needs to be some balance and some understanding in that regard. If a wife is disappointed in her husband's leadership, here's some questions to ask very quickly. Number one, did my husband ever seek to lead in our marriage, but I deferred because I felt it was stupid. I felt it wasn't going to work, so I just deferred from it. Secondly, do I send him a message that I do not intend to follow him if he makes a decision contrary to what I believe is correct? Basically, honey, I'll follow you anywhere as long as it's over there. Then I'm behind you, you know. And sometimes that can be the spirit, and it's not of the Lord, all right? How about this one? Do I send a message that says, I want you to lead, but only when it bolsters and carries out my desires? Or do I want my husband to be responsible, but if he is irresponsible, in my opinion, then I'm exercising veto power. Basically, I'm the judge and jury for his actions, and you want to be careful of that. Do my words and actions communicate, you are responsible, but I'm in authority? And basically, wives, all I'm trying to do in love this morning is say, examine your own lives and make sure there's not an attitude of self-righteousness about you in your marriage relationship, at least to some degree. Understand that, yes, God has given you some intuition and insight, and we are thankful for it, and we benefit from it every day. But understand that God has given your husband some wisdom, some insight, some counsel as well, and make sure there's a biblical balance. And if he's not leading in some area the way you think he should, that potentially could be a matter of prayer, and then right environment, it could be a discussion on a date. Hey, how can we make this better? But it certainly should not be a measuring rod, and if he falls short, well, then I'm going to let him have it here. That's not the biblical atmosphere and environment that God would have in our homes, okay? Here's another thought that keeps us from this biblical balance. Letter B, my husband is usually the reason for our failures. We wouldn't have problems if it wasn't for him. Now, you may believe this, and many women do. This is why I'm teaching it. In some marriages, it's as though the wife appears in her mind that she really doesn't do anything wrong until it comes to the frustration she has with her husband, that all of the wrong in her life really is due to him or a chemical imbalance or a bad head day or something. But he really is the culprit for anything that is truly amiss in the home. Now, you want to be careful that this is not the spirit of your home. And wives, I would encourage you to just examine your heart inwardly and say, Lord, is this the way that I feel? When something goes wrong, am I quick to feel or to think or to turn to, boy, what did he do now? Or whatever. Because as you were here 2 weeks ago when I challenged men about being understanding, about being peacemakers, what did I teach them? I said to them, guys, even when something comes up in your relationship and you feel like it is her fault, learn to examine it through the lens of what can I do better? What did I do wrong? Or where could I improve? And so it is with the wife in this instance of not thinking he's the failure or the reason for it all, but looking where can I improve as well. So kind of getting rid of these common beliefs that would prevent us from that biblical balance. And then as we close, I want us to look at behavior that is esteeming. A goodwill wife that desires to appreciate her husband's desire to analyze and counsel must guard against certain behaviors, all right? So if you say, well, I want to appreciate his insight and counsel. I want to reverence him as I'm challenging Ephesians 5. What are some behaviors that I need to guard against? All right, let me give you a few quickly this morning. And thank you for going with me quick. Letter A, guard against writing off your husband's insight and suggestions. In many marriages, it's easy for a wife just to begin to write them off. I mean, you know, it's almost like in the legalistic form that she'll still ask or that it'll still be mentioned. And it's like, okay, now I'm not liable. You know, I've covered that base, but I don't have any intention of truly listening to it or giving it any serious thought. But for the goodwill godly home, there needs to be a balance of husband and wife who together are examining situations and helping each other give insight, and then a decision needs to be made. And God challenges you and I, learn from one another, submit to one another, benefit one from another. And God says, guard against this idea that I don't even know why I would ask him what he thinks, because I don't even care. Be careful about that. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 65, 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. God says, listen, it's a stench in my nostrils when someone has a holier than thou attitude. So I want to caution all of us in our marriages, don't have a holier than thou attitude. Not an attitude of, well, we're supposed to be together, but they're not going to offer anything, so I'm just going to run with it. God says, don't do that. You are to become one. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, and so seek his counsel. Wives, can I ask you a question? When's the last time you've asked your husband for his insight and his counsel? Now listen to me very carefully. It should not be that you are going to someone else for insight and counsel. Another lady, a class leader, a pastor, whoever, before you go to your husband. Now you and your husband may decide you're going to get some counsel. And by the way, in the multitude of counselors, their safety, a matter is established. I'm for it. I get counsel in my life. But wives, I just want to caution you, when's the last time you've asked your husband for counsel? And is it a practice of yours to be going and getting counsel from everyone else other than him? And I would submit to you, don't do that. God has given him some insight, some wisdom, and some counsel. Just as you know him well in your area of intuition, he knows you well also. And it's a strengthening component to a home when you're seeking his insight, his wisdom, and his counsel. So guard against this area of just writing it off. Letter B, guard against being your husband's Holy Spirit. Now, most husbands see themselves as unrighteous. Most husbands in the room would say, man, Brother Rule, I married over my head. My wife is a better person than I am. Most of us would say that, not just flippantly, or that's the cliche statement, but that's what we believe. But wives, I want to encourage you this morning that while your husband may believe that, the truth of the matter is none of us are righteous. We're all imperfect. We all have areas where we need to grow. And guard against being your husband's Holy Spirit. Guard against being the person in his life who's always pointing out the stuff he needs to do. Wives, there's no vacancy in the Trinity. Okay? God's on it. God can take care of it. God can beat me up any day he wants to. All right? Now, I appreciate my husband's intuition or my wife's intuition. The insight that she can provide, the help that she can be to me, I appreciate all of that. But I want to encourage you, as you're reverencing him and showing appreciation for his desire to counsel and analyze, be careful about being the Holy Spirit in his life. Let God deal with him. God's good at it, and God's better at it than you. All right, then lastly, guard against the attitude that he is the center of all the problems. I don't have time, as we're out of time, but you study when Jesus goes to Mary and Martha. Martha comes out. She's like, Lord, I'm cumbered about with so many things. Tell Mary to get in here and help me. I can't believe this is happening. And here's Martha looking into the eyes of love itself and frustrated with the Lord Jesus Christ because he's not doing what she feels he should be doing. And he's like, Martha, don't be cumbered about so much stuff. Just come spend time with me. And ladies, you and your husband are going to have a very different perspective on some things from time to time. Don't just chalk it up to he's wrong. It may be that his perspective is exactly what you need in a particular area or situation. So I want to encourage every couple this morning, as decisions are being made, balance, biblical balance, her intuition, his biblical insight, wisdom, and counsel. And wives, be sure you're not writing it off. You're not dismissing it. You're not undervaluing it. But think to yourself, Lord, you've given me my husband. Help me to seek his insight, his wisdom, and his counsel. Help there to be balance in our home. And may the decisions we make be pleasing to you because we follow those biblical principles. And I pray that God will strengthen our homes this week as a result of these things. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together in your word this morning. We do pray that you would challenge us and help us in this area, that our homes would continue to grow and bring you honor and glory in every way. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.